Hi everyone, it's me, Sandy Cruz of Sandy K Nutrition, health and lifestyle queen. For years now, I've been bringing to you conversations about wellness from experts from all over the world. Whether it be suggestions in how you can age better, biohacking, alternative wellness, these are conversations to help you live your best life. I want to live a long, healthy, and vibrant life. Never mind all those stigmas that as we reach midlife and beyond, we're just going to shrivel up and die with some horrible disease. Always remember, balanced living works. I really look forward to this season. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today with me, I have Lisa Borden, and she is a business development consultant and wellness intelligent therapist. And guess what? We're going to talk all about how you can choose healthier options without overwhelm. It's a great conversation. I love chatting with Lisa. Her and I are aligned on just so many different things. So definitely listen. Most of you know I am a registered holistic nutritionist as well as a certified metabolic balance coach. I do little consults. I don't work with clients anymore long term, but you can hit me up, Sandy at sandyknutrition.ca, if you would like to book a consult. Many women and men actually need some help around midlife to know what supplements are good, what nutrition is great, what lifestyle hacks do you have, what bio hacks do you have just to age better and feel better. I'm really active on Instagram, on TikTok, on Facebook. I am also active, kind of, not really, but I'm on Pinterest, I'm on TikTok, Threads. It's called Threads, Twitter. Definitely just look me up anywhere, Sandy K Nutrition, anywhere and everywhere. Also, I am posting all of my full video interviews on YouTube now. Go and subscribe, Sandy K Nutrition there as well. Lastly, I would appreciate it if you could share this episode with anyone who might benefit, who might find it interesting. And also, if you could rate and review with a few kind words, that would be especially helpful so that I can just keep bringing it every single week with amazing topics and amazing guests. And now let's cut on through to the interview with Lisa Borden. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Sandy K Nutrition, Health and Lifestyle Queen. Today with me, my special guest is Lisa Borden. And she's a business development consultant and wellness intelligence therapist. She founded Borden Communications in 1994, a design and marketing company geared to help small business. In 2021, Lisa founded the Wellness Intelligence Collective, where she connects like-minded entrepreneurs and individuals with each other. And within this collective, individuals share favorite things, practices, and other like-minded people. Lisa has been creating the conditions for positive change and healthy outcomes for conscious people and brands for over 25 years. And today we are going to discuss a pretty huge topic. It's vast, her and I were saying. And today we're going to talk about healthier options, how to make them without feeling overwhelmed. So with that, welcome, Lisa. Thank you for coming back.
Thank you for having me. I love being in conversation with you. You make so much sense to me.
Oh, well, that's good. I hope so. I mean, we met a few years ago now, and we have a very good connection. But, you know, not everybody knows your background. So maybe tell us what your background is. I know I gave a little bit. Maybe you have more to add.
Oh, there's always more to add. That's what I said. It's like, what does a title really mean? What does a bio really mean?
True.
And how do you actually connect with the human behind the brand or the service? And I always say, what makes me qualified to be, you know, in marketing communications or in wellness intelligence, which is a term I coined. And I have a degree in French. That's what makes me qualified. And I always tell people, I'm like, you know, you're paying me a lot of money hourly to help you. And I have a degree in French. That's my story. I'm 51 years old and I started my business when I was 22. And I started my business because I had a degree in French. And I was like, what am I supposed to do with this? And I knew that I wasn't ideal employee material. I thought, I'm either going to get fired or I'm going to quit. Either way, like, I need to start something on my own. And it wasn't really something that people did in 1994. This was before the internet. You know, we didn't have instant communication, like you and I meeting online. It's like you didn't have those outlets. I couldn't get a sales rep to visit me because I was at a residential neighborhood. I just started my business in the corner of my one bedroom apartment. And my business plan, my whole business plan, was to over deliver on all my promises, because I was so just frustrated by people falling down on their word, I guess, in my life, which I identify now, but also in just things I would order. You know, people say, yeah, we'll be there on the 19th. And how many times do we have to follow up? I was like, I'm just going to show up and do what I say that I'm going to do. And I guess, unfortunately, almost, that is a standout feature of somebody. And I, being resourceful and efficient and committed to always doing better, I made my way to where I am today. And I would say my biggest asset for people is just that I listen, that I'm curious, and that I have experience. Like, I can help people because of mistakes I've made as much as the positive. It's not all quote unquote good, right? It's, we find our way, it's our journey.
Yeah. Now, where does the wellness aspect come in? Because, you know, you and I have been friends for a while. And I say friends, like, even though we haven't met in person, I have made some great friends through social media. I've met some really great, like-minded individuals. And I see a lot of your stuff. And listen, I'm a holistic nutritionist, but I'm like, whoa, this girl's got me beat. Just, I mean, how did that whole journey of wellness and really, I'm going to say, deciphering information and what is actually really, truly good for us and what isn't, where did that come into play?
You know, it's a great question. And my answer now is very different than it was last year, and that it was different than where I was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 20 years ago. And I would say, if I just go back to even 1994 or my childhood, I've always questioned everything. And then I either do something with that information or I don't, but I'm not really good with unknowing. Mm. So I've written a post about that. It's like the sin of unknowing. It's, lots of us don't know things for whatever reason it is. We're unaware. We haven't asked the questions. We just really don't know. People haven't divulged things. But I always ask a lot of questions. I always ask a lot of questions. And I had my first child 23 years ago. And when my daughter was born, who was my second child, I don't know, any parent who's listening will know that we do better for our kids than we do for ourselves in a way.
Totally.
And I always, my first kid, it's like, I drove to make my own baby food, you know, organic baby food. And I had to drive 30 minutes to find an organic butternut squash, but I was still drinking conventional milk myself. I was still, you know, all of these things that were totally, now I look at, I'm like, wow, I'm so disconnected. And when my daughter was born in 2002, she had a bunch of health complications and was in the hospital at 3 months with a chest tube, and nurses told me what to do. And I listened because they knew and I didn't. And I now recognize, it's like, oh, I gave my power to somebody else. And I really think we all are our own best experts. So I'm not the expert. I don't think anyone's an expert, but I do think we all have to sort of rely on ourselves more. So that's what I'm saying as a reflection. But it was my daughter, who I say that she is our family's hero, because she sort of opened up this rabbit hole It was bronchiolitis. I mean, I'll tell the story very quickly, but I basically could not solve. I got into all these specialists. I got in, my father's a doctor. I got in to anybody that I could see with my daughter who was covered in eczema, head to toe, bad eczema, like psoriasis. And she had breathing problems and was diagnosed with food allergy. And I left a dermatologist's office crying with this baby in my arms because she gave me cortisone cream and Benadryl and told me if I don't use those things, that my marriage is going to fall apart, my business is going to suffer because I won't have slept. And I didn't believe her. I thought it was crazy, but I was, you know, you talk about overwhelm. I was overwhelmed. I had this baby in my arms and I didn't know what to do. And I came home and it wasn't Google, whatever it was, like we're simpatico or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I came up on a message board of a bunch of moms who were talking about cleaning chemicals and eczema. And I was like, oh, okay. So I went through my house and I gathered up all the cleaning chemicals, which of course I cleaned with the best of intention, right? We don't clean our homes like freaks because we're, you know, it's like, it's, we want to keep our home clean, to keep our kids safe, to keep our surfaces healthy. Mm-hmm. And I had cleaning chemicals everywhere, but I took them, I put them all in a box and I took them to my laundry room. And I put them in the laundry room. Why didn't I throw them out? Because I was like, how am I going to keep my house clean? This is not going to work, but I'm willing to try. And within 2 weeks, my daughter's breathing changed. Her skin cleared up. I'm going to say over 80% after like months and months and months of no change from anybody. And I thought, wow. So I went and I took this box of cleaning chemicals, which I go into my laundry room and I realize, oh my God, it stinks in here. Why didn't I smell that in my house before? And I took this box and I put it out by the curb and I got a notice that said, you can't throw this stuff out. It's hazardous waste. Mm. And I had this light bulb moment. Let's call it light bulb moment because it sounds kind, but like total like anxiety and overwhelm and outrage. If this is hazardous waste to throw it out, why is it in our supermarkets where we buy it along with bananas and bring it home to keep our kids, quote unquote, safe and our homes clean? And that was the beginning of all of this because I'm an all-in person. Like that's, I'm all in when I'm business consulting. I'm all in, like full heart too. And it's not just bulldozery. It's really heart-centered. And my husband joked that he would come home every day and he was like, what did you clean out today? And I was like, oh, the kitchen, the personal care, the food. And as you actually take time to read ingredients on things, whether that's a supplement or food, you're like, why is there propylene glycol in that? What is that word even? And why is it in my cracker? And so not unknowing, just had me go down that hole. And then I looked at my business and I thought, I can't do for my home and my life and my family and not my work family. And so in that same year, I gave up around 90% of my revenue because I could no longer in good conscience do some of that work. I couldn't print custom cooler bags that I knew had lead in the lining and give them out to 1,000 people at a golf tournament. And so I started seeking out different people to work with. And I've never made a sales call in my life, except for I called the Clean Canteen. I called this company. I was like, hi, I'm in Canada. I want to help you with your reusable bottles. And I'll like work for you for free because I need some people in this. And they were like, you're weird. really weird. In any case, that's it. Just I would find it was at that time there weren't a lot of people doing eco products and there weren't a lot of clients. And so when I met people who were doing great things, I realized these humans are amazing and they're doing amazing things and I want to give them their voices. And that's my the shortest way that I could say that's how I got into it. That's my business. And I curate everything for my home and my work and my life in the same way.
Wow. Okay. I see a lot of parallels between you and I because we might have been doing this at similar times because my daughter had eczema as well. And at that time, there was nothing. You couldn't find these products. She was 3 months old and had maybe not as severe as your daughter, but mine, it was all in, you know, when they have the chubby, cute little legs, it was all in all the folds. Like she had all this eczema. I was like, oh my God. And that's when I started actually, I found Melaleuca back then. Remember Melaleuca?
Right. Yeah, of course.
Because that was the only thing that I could find. So, I mean, our stories are similar. And I guess you could say, you know, actually, it probably even goes back farther than that. But that was when I was like, whoa, what's going on with these products? Because I changed her laundry detergent. I changed the soap that she was using. So whatever I could find at that time, I did the same thing. And I haven't looked back. Although now, you know, I personally will say, and I'm making a very personal claim, that you can no longer use the argument that it's too expensive, because you can always find, I always say with everything, there's a good, better, best, right? And so I say this to people, Lisa, I'm like, listen, you don't have to go for the best. Not everybody has that kind of budget, but now at least we have options. And you can.
I want to just challenge that for a second too, and just to layer something onto what you just said.
Because okay.
I agree. There is great privilege with some of the purchases that some of us can make.
Yeah.
And there's not access to everybody. However, it's amazing that you can actually. A lot of the products that do, let's call it better, like in that better.
You have to be careful. I agree.
Yeah, but it's also. That some of them can actually save you, not just money, but also your health, your time, right? It's like there's so many things, you know, even in terms of laundry soap, there's like less expensive options that don't have plastic packaging. So you're not carrying something toxic that's going to leak, that's like heavy to carry. It's like more accessible that it's just in an envelope and it's healthier. So yeah, it's like what you said. It's like good, better, best. You don't have to do the best. It doesn't need to be all of my changes and probably yours. And you say about, I have you beat, like with food, like what's happening. It comes from a place of joy and excitement, not fear and overwhelm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the journey.
Well, I think you know, whatever, I would love to hear your opinion, but if I was to go back and somebody would say, well, you know, and this is what I hear all the time. Oh my God, I can't do that. I can't go and get rid of all this and get rid of this. And I'm like, baby steps, start with asking the questions, right? And I always say everything starts with a question. When you don't give a shit is when you fall into that hole of, and I'm going to maybe whatever, maybe this is going to offend. I personally do my best not to support very large commercialized brands because for me, as a general rule, and my kids say this to me all the time, they're like, Mom, why don't we have anything normal in our house?
Yeah, and they, my kids should meet your kids.
Oh, but then they bring it in, Lisa, because I've lost all control, right? So I'm hoping that whatever I teach, or as they say, preach, that some of it's going to stick, right? That's where the problem lies, is that people don't really ask the questions. They're like robots, right?
Absolutely. I mean, I designed and wear a sweatshirt that says question everything on it.
I love it.
The premise of, you know, I talk about the Wellness Intelligence Collective. Wellness Intelligence is a term I coined that's really only about doing better. And what's better to me is not what's better to you, even though we are alike in so many ways.
True.
And then what's better to somebody who doesn't even know what Forever Chemicals is or has never heard of glyphosate? It's not about... I'm on this journey too. Like my first kid, like I was Lysol wiping his plastic high chair.
Yeah, me too.
I would never do that now. But I was there once too. We've all, most of us have been there. And so you need to have your aha moment, your reason, as you say, to actually give a shit, which makes you question things. But it's really, it's just choose one thing. Because you choose one thing and you make a change, people are like, I can't believe how amazing I feel now that I hydrate in the morning. Thank you for that. Thank you for that help. And someone will say to me, I thought you were a business consultant. How does hydration matter? I'm like, I work with purpose-driven entrepreneurs who are passionate. We are the first breed of people who forget to take care of ourselves during a day, even if we're in the wellness business, because we get so occupied with what we're doing that we can like not eat, not drink, not take care. So even something like just hydrating, it doesn't even need to be a product swap. Just doing one thing better really can open your eyes. And then when you're self-motivated, you don't need all those people to be telling you what to do. Then all the other people become amazing resources. I think you're an amazing resource.
Thank you.
If I have a question about something, I know like I can ask Sandy because I'm going to get a totally honest, no bullshit answer. And that matters to me. And so when you talk about your kids or anybody, it's not about not supporting even big business. I mean, it is, but it's like, if you just look for the human in everything, you're going to make a really good decision when you can look at somebody in the eye and be like, I'm so happy I'm wearing this sweatshirt that you made, or I just bought your book, as opposed to, you know, or jewelry where you didn't buy it from the mall, you bought it from Lisa. Like there's a human name. There's excitement in that if you choose to.
Yeah, I agree with that. And then you said a couple of things there, and I just want to, I have friends who will sometimes, they'll be like, oh, you know I shouldn't do this. Oh, I know I shouldn't do this. And it's kind of funny because I'm like, okay, my husband's a smoker, right? And he loves his beer. And I'm honest about that. And I'm not going to lie about that. But, you know, we've been married for, it's going to be 23 years. And it's not his life. It's my life. Because I've also heard, well, how do you live with that? You know, with those kinds of habits. I'm like, okay, so it's kind of like what I was saying at the start. Your ethics are up here, Lisa. They are. Okay. And, you know, I may not be at your level, but you don't come at me for that. You know what I mean? Or you might do things differently than me. And so that's not what this is about. It's about taking your own steps.
Right.
Right.
It's also like, what scale are you using to judge? Because maybe just on one level, it's you see me as up here in terms of standards, but maybe, you know, like we're all on like scales of what? It's all relativity.
Yeah.
And I said, the last thing in my work and in my life work, whatever, there's no real disconnection between those, but it's really about not shoulding on people. Like, it's not about, it's like, the word should is like pretty, like it's very charged.
It is.
If we're our own best experts, then it's like, you shouldn't drink more water. It's maybe it's like, do you think that you're dehydrated? Like there's a different way to go about it. So I don't need to come at you for anything. I have a hard enough time taking care of myself. Like that's, you know, it's like showing up to take care of myself. And I just find it, why are we, you know, I want people to show up for themselves better, but it's not an argument. And I'm not going to pick on any one thing because there's so many things. So many things. I know I shouldn't. If I bump into somebody in a supermarket, sometimes they go, I'm only buying this because my kids wanted it. That I'm like, you didn't need to explain it to me. It's if my presence is causing you shame, I'm smiling at you standing right here. Maybe it's that you know that you're not doing something that feels good to you. And so maybe it's a time to sit and be in reflection of that. But I'm like pretty smiley. I mean, I make fun of my friends for things, but I don't ever change. You know, it's like I'm not friends with someone because of a decision that they make.
Ah, yeah, me neither. Me neither. So let's try and, I guess, narrow this down. I have already introduced you listeners to AminoCo's amino acids. I've done a show, actually a couple of shows, on the importance of amino acids as we age. I've also done a show on fatty liver. This seems to be an ongoing issue for many people in midlife and older. Many automatically assume that, you know, you have to be drinking a lot of alcohol to have fatty liver, but this is not the case. This happens as in non-alcoholic fatty liver to many people. First, I'm going to tell you a little bit about the company AminoCo. Their science is unmatched with over 30 years of experience, over 500 medical research papers published, and over 70,000 times cited by other researchers. AminoCo has various formulations that are meant to actually help the body in different areas. Last year, I introduced you to their life formula. This year, I'm going to introduce you to Purity. AminoCo's Purity is 100% science-backed with clinically proven benefits to help maintain healthy liver fat levels. This formulation protects against liver and kidney oxidative damage using N-acetylcysteine. Many of you might have heard of this. The goal of Purity is to help you maintain a healthy level of liver enzymes for optimal liver function. Now, it's also keto-friendly, soy-free, vegan, gluten-free, and non-GMO. And there are natural flavors available. So if you want to try this out, go to www.aminoco.com/SKN. Use my code SKN for 30% off. That's SKN for Sandy K Nutrition for 30% off. So there's obviously different things that we can all do to make healthier choices in life. So I love that, number one, you're always at a local food farmer's market. I love that. So you don't shop in grocery stores? Rarely.
I mean, in Toronto, I do shop at grocery stores as the last resort.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Like last resort, but not large chain grocery stores. So going back to what I said before, I want human in everything that I'm consuming. That's not always possible. Plus, I'm not perfect. Like, I still live in a home with an asphalt driveway.
Yeah.
I have three kids. I have a car. Like, I'm not living off-grid in a yurt.
Yes.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like, none of us are perfect. I, you know, perfectly imperfect or imperfectly perfect, whatever you want to call it. But yeah, going to the farmer's market, growing my own food, that I love. And it's a really humbling experience. It's meditative. It's healthy. You get connected to your food. I grew carrots one year. I waited 5 months. I watched these carrot tops grow to the ground. It was spectacular. There was like awe and wonder in nature. And I waited, and in the fall, I harvested my carrots, and they were honestly, they weren't an inch big. And I thought, this is hard. I'm never going to ask the price of carrots from an organic farmer again.
Yeah.
And go to the farmer's market for that.
Yeah.
And if I can't get it from the farmer's market, right, then a lot of the time I'm like, I'm not supposed to be eating that. Something like avocados, we don't get here. And I like avocados. So when they are, you know, fairly priced and they look okay, I will buy them from a store. But an independent grocer that is independently owned rather than a big box.
Mm.
When I'm traveling, you know, if I'm in the States, Whole Foods can be like life-saving for me to eat because I'm not going to go to a restaurant with seed oils and with everything else that I don't want to be consuming. So it's not that I'm never at a big box, but my first line of defense for everything and as advice to everyone is find the human connected to your purchase.
Yeah.
Won't even need to make a decision at that point. Like you'll just know.
Yeah. Better. Now I'm not too far from you, but in, you know, where I am, I would have to drive pretty far to get to a farmer's market through the winter. But right. I go every single weekend, as soon as they open up in my area. But here's the other thing. What do you think about this, Lisa? Because I try to buy organic when I can, right? And I know all about the Dirty Dozen and the Clean 15, and, you know, everybody should really be aware of that. But, you know, I go to these farmers markets and I hear, oh no, we can't, like nobody, I'm talking nobody, at least to the farmers markets that I go to, have organic strawberries or organic apples.
So it's a great, I mean, you bring it up, like, it's like one of my favorite rabbit holes to go.
Okay. Yeah.
Like you just brought up. So it's like, thanks for setting that up. So again, the human factor. So first of all, it's not that they can't, it's that they choose not to, or you're maybe not in the right place.
Or maybe it's too hard.
Right. It's too hard. The same way that we make those excuses is like, I would buy those, but it's too hard or it's too far. And we all have our own excuses, right?
Yeah.
Me too. The thing that matters is that you also understand because you're at a farmer's market, it doesn't mean it's better. And a price tag doesn't mean it's better. So an organic apple to a conventional apple at a grocery store is always going to be more expensive. But an organic apple in season at the farmer's market is actually less than the conventional apple in the grocery store. And I can't express that enough. The tomatoes in season, really beautiful ones that are like the most nutritious. If you go to the right places and you find the right people, it's sort of like a treasure hunt. We all have things that we're willing to like stand in line for or you know, go far for it. People travel to go to a certain golf course. Like we all go, farmers markets are my thing. But when I'm in a farmer's market, you bring up the most important thing. We have to question things. You have to learn. So what are those questions? So I came up with this term called empathy economics. So forget organic and forget local and forget all these. These are just labels because not all organic garlic is created equal. You couldn't pay me to eat organic garlic from China. Couldn't pay me. I have a whole bunch of reasons why I can share that link, but that's why. So I would rather buy conventional local garlic, but ultimately I've done my work over the years. And I know this beautiful human named Daniel Hoffman, who runs something called the Global Garlic Project. And he has organic local garlic. And you know what? He delivers it once a year in harvest time. And I buy it in bulk and I keep it in a dark space and it serves me all winter long. So it actually saves me time. It saves me money. I'm not going to a store when I need garlic for a recipe. I have local organic garlic, but it takes discovering that. Like it took me years and years. And then it took me being in the right place at the right time to meet this fabulous human. So, you know, there's tons of Daniel Hoffmans out there. So empathy economics is about actually exactly what it sounds. It's be connected. Just be connected. So it doesn't matter if you're buying honey or a mattress to sleep on, a backpack for your kids to go to school, chocolate. It doesn't matter. You can ask these same five questions, which are one, who am I buying it from? The maker, the retailer, what do they support? What do they stand for? What am I supporting when I'm buying it? What is it made of? Like the actual materials and the ingredients. So if I'm buying a salad dressing, right? Like it's look at the ingredients. Are there seed oils or is it olive oil? All of those questions, right? The packaging, the processing, all those things are what is it made of? Then where is it made or grown in your case, if you're talking about garlic? How are the humans treated? How far did it travel to get to you? And then a really important question, is this necessary? Is it necessary? Is this a need or a want? There's a huge difference between that, right? Those two things, the need and want. And what purpose does it serve for us? Because when there's a joy factor, maybe you're going to be like, oh, it's not organic. But like, I'm so excited to consume this. There's a huge joy factor. Like everything else is okay. So, you know, nothing's perfect. And the fifth question is what really matters to you and I also is, how does this affect your wellness in all dimensions? So that includes your financial wellness. That's not just your physical wellness, your mental, emotional, spiritual, social, intellectual, financial, environmental. Those are all dimensions of wellness. Short term, like right today when I'm going to purchase that, but also long term. And so that's empathy economics. And there's no question, like, if you're going to buy tequila or you're going to buy red wine, those, you know, we could say, well, all alcohol is poison, like your husband, it's beer, it's bad. Well, we can't label something as bad. Maybe there's a joy factor. Maybe there's something. How can you do better with the beer? It doesn't need to be like quitting and overwhelm. How can I do better with my pots and pans? I don't have thousands of dollars to replace my pots and pans right now. Well, maybe it's next time you need one, or save up that you buy one pan that's really versatile that you can answer those empathy economics questions about, that feels really good. You're going to feel so good bringing that home. And then when you make your kale or your eggs or whatever you're cooking in your kitchen in that pan, you can be pretty proud of yourself and connected to it. And then it's self-empowering. It's actually a positive feedback loop that fuels you, not the other way around. So I don't feel restricted by anything. I feel like inspired and empowered all the time now. And I didn't always, but you do get through that overwhelm and land in a place that feels really good. And that's what healthier is all about, I think.
I love that term, empathy economics. That's just so cool, because that actually, that one term embodies all of the different facets to wellness. Like, just like what you were saying. So for me, and again, this is my choice, I don't buy berries. I don't buy them until they're local. And man, do I ever enjoy them. And no, they're not organic a lot of the time. But, you know, I have my ways to clean them up and do what I can. And guess what I do? I ask every farmer, how are these grown? And then anybody who's with me usually rolls their eyes and goes, here we go. Sandy's got to talk to the farmer. But I'm like, listen, I grew up with two parents who were farmers. I know a lot of the old country ways. Like, my mom tells me stories, Lisa, how they would grow their own apples. And guess what they would do to preserve them for the winter? They'd dig a hole in the ground, right? And then they would cover it with hay, and then they'd cover it with dirt, and then they'd have apples all year round. And it was their apples that they grew. Okay, come on. Like, I can't do that where I live.
So that's my grandmother's turning 100 in a couple of weeks.
Oh, no way.
So, yeah, she's incredible. She's incredible. But we have these conversations and I say, well, you grew up on organic food. And she's like, no, I didn't. Like, organic wasn't a thing. It didn't need a label.
Yeah, no.
You didn't get garlic from China 12 months of the year. I can go to Costco at any time or Loblaws and get the same thing. That should actually be alarming. And we think of it as like, oh, I can't get the exact yellow pepper.
True.
It's so annoying. It's like you saying you find joy in those berries.
Yeah.
There's the joy factor matters. And by the way, the farmers, I was going to say, my grandmother just saying that there's no such thing as organic food, but that's what they grew up on. That's
yes.
What your parents are telling you. It's like, we grew our food. We were closer in our supply chain. We were connected. And now we're disconnected. And so empathy economics is about, that's, I coined that term and came up with this for everybody because the overwhelm is real. Like, how do I know what to do? And how do I know what to buy? And this is like, same questions. And by the way, no answer and no willingness for an answer from a brand or a company is the answer. So if they tell you that's trade secrets, I can't tell you what I spray on the strawberries to make them so red. It's like, that's alarming.
Yes.
I don't want to eat those. And when the woman says, oh, like they're not certified organic because we don't do the paperwork because we only have them for 2 weeks and they're grown with this and she's smiling.
Yes.
You get energy in your food. So you don't have to count calories and worry about your, you can only have 4 strawberries and you can only have this. It's like, eat the joy. Eat the joy. That's actually nourishing too, that we become so metrics obsessed, right?
Totally.
This many ounces and this many things. It's like the joy factor really matters. It really matters. I learned that the hard way.
Yeah. And one thing I am going to say is I do my best. Listen, just like what you were saying, like I do my best and I try to eat seasonally. And I think that's a big thing. I remember in one of the courses that I took, that was a huge, like, okay, I can go right now to the grocery store and I can buy a pint of organic strawberries that were grown in California, but when were they picked? How much of the nutrients have been lost in the process of getting here? Or do I just fill up on those beautiful antioxidants when I can get it locally? This is the thing that my parents always taught me. And they're like, we ate what we could have. So, you know, we didn't have McDonald's at every street corner to have every possible dream that we wanted to eat, right?
But imagine that you can get the same exact taste, flavor, shape, everything in Toronto that you can in New York City, that you can in
right
anywhere in Europe, and it's all for McDonald's, it's all the same thing. That is not convenience. That's the opposite. The same way we think taking a plastic spoon is convenient. It's convenience food. But it's so inconvenient. It's actually ruining you and it's ruining the world. It's like catastrophic for human environmental health. And doing better is not actually, like, you can fill it with the joy and the connection, like you're saying.
It's, yeah,
like the antioxidant eating seasonally matters. My kids would always shrug and drop their shoulders and be so upset when it was like, cabbages just came into the market in Toronto and it's like, it's going to be a long winter. It's like, cabbages, and you know, it's like all the hot crops are done. And, you know, then there's something to talk about. It's, you know, if we're in a conversation about food, of preserving food, which is a whole other thing, but, you know, pickling, dehydrating, preserving, like one of the joys that I have are cutting peaches from the summer and freezing them. And I hide them for my kids. And like, when you have like those dark days and you just want some of summer in the winter and you can pull out like a frozen peach that was bought from the really nice, lovely organic peach farmer at the market and pull out like one slice, it can really break, but that's vitamins, that's nourishment.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so I think we covered off food. Now let's just quickly, we also kind of covered off products. So you mentioned plastics. I think plastics is a really important, just a place to pause, just to pause for a second, because I work with women, and actually just today I was talking about how almost any woman I know in their 40s, including myself back then, have estrogen dominance. And it's very, very hard to get away from it, though. If you're living in the city, you're living in this environment, it's hard to get away from xenoestrogens, because it's kind of everywhere. And I know there's,
Obesogens?
Well, yes, but what I'm saying is, like, it's everywhere. And yes, we can make, but if everybody pitched in a little bit, then it could minimize the overall burden. that we all seem to get. Like, not everybody can afford a Berkey filter. That's the facts. And
frankly, I work on the product side of things. So if I have a client, it's really hard. Like, when you're talking about kombucha at a store, you know, fermented living kombucha has to be in glass. Pickles that are fermented, they have to be in glass.
Right.
But I have to tell you, to ship that costs a lot of money. That costs a lot of money. And so the brand, in order to make money, because they feel the need to compete, it's a race to the bottom, go into a tin can, or they go into, you know, jam or nut butter goes into a plastic container because it's not going to break, and they have to make money, right? This is their business. So I agree, it's all around us, but it's when you are able to make the choice.
Yes.
Make it.
Yeah.
If you shop a farmer's market, the thing that I love is you can actually take your own bags.
Yep.
So I take my own produce bags. Big Carrot, I take my own produce bags, those plastic bags. We don't need that. When you're buying clothing, everything that's polyester, do you know what I mean? That's plastic, and our skin's our largest organ. And so again, not from a fear standpoint, but understand, I mean, I'm wearing this sweatshirt today that says everything matters. That's not just on the quote unquote bad side. That's on every choice that you make that's better is like a huge win. It's a huge win. I say my biggest plastic consumption is from like homeopathics and microgreens, which is so crazy in itself, right?
Mm.
So there's lots of people like to actually make the goal of a 100% plastic free life, you're just going to be disappointed and feel like there's no point. And so you need to, everyone needs to bring themselves into a point to say like, get excited when you see something that's not in plastic.
What about water? What about, because water's so huge, and you know, I'm always like, you know, we converted a long time ago to stainless steel or glass. I have one of those one liter, glass with the, you know, it has like a silicone, yeah, just to protect it from shattering. But, you know, it's really hard to get clean water. Like, even if you're using...
And why is that?
So here's a question. Right. So here's a question. Our water... Listen, if you're drinking from the tap, people, you ain't getting clean water. Okay? You're not. Like, people say that to me all the time. Oh, yeah, tap water is great. We have the city processing it. I'm like, no, it's not. It's going to have plastics in it. It's going to have pharmaceuticals, it's going to have all that, right? But then, Lisa, you go and you buy a fridge filter. And what is that fridge filter made out of? Plastic.
Yeah.
Right?
Same with reverse osmosis.
Yes.
Plastic housing.
Yes. So it's really hard to get away from that.
So it's really hard. Like, life can be really hard. It can also be really easy if you focus on the things you can control. So the things that you can't control are things you can't control yet, because if we all just say, well, there's no point, like it's too big of a deal, then we're all giving up together. But if we all make one choice at a time, and, you know, it's interesting because cost is a real thing. You say not everyone can, but we're very quick to buy a computer, right? Like, we buy a computer and we buy a smartphone and we pay lots of money. Like, there's so many places in our life, and it all comes down to what are my priorities. So when someone says to me, oh my goodness, I just read your article, I really like one of those mattresses, I can't afford it, and they just bought a new car and a new pair of shoes, and I've seen them online, and it's like, listen, I'm not going to should you, but I'm going to help break this down for you to say, the reason why I spend money on my desk chair, the reason why I spend money on my mattress, and the reason why I spend money on my water is because there's no things that I do more than those things that are essential. So if I'm ruining my body sitting at my desk and not feeling good, that affects my focus, my mood, my productivity, my work, all of that. So yeah, I'm going to spend $1,000 on a chair. And I know, again, not everyone can do that. I'm talking about priorities, though, of saying that you can't afford $500 on water or $1,000 on a chair when you are spending that money in other areas of your life. Same as a supplement, right? It could be like, wow, that's so expensive. But what happens if we put a value tag on things instead of putting a price tag on things? How does that shift our mindset?
I like that. No, I like that because I actually have that conversation as a holistic nutritionist. And we, you know, we live in Canada where it's a socialized healthcare system. And I'm like, okay, so you say you can't afford my services. However, you can have a $5 Starbucks every day. And I, again, it sounds judgy of me, Lisa, but it's more about perspective, right? If your health is critically important, you would take that those funds and you would put it here. If it's not, then continue to have that Starbucks. And that's really the bottom line. And I know it sounds harsh, but I have to say that to people, especially within our country, because what I do is all to be proactive with your health before you get sick.
Sandy, I think accountability can be a really beautiful, loving thing as well.
I like that.
I don't think any of us like to be called on our shit, but the healers that I work with, the people that I work with, that my friends that call me on my own shit, it like might sting or might be like, ooh, but it gives me something to actually reflect on and think of. And that's the work. Like, that's our work. And so I don't want to sit in a comfort zone. It's like, I don't want to give up. I don't want to doubt my health. So every day I'm going to show up in ways that matter. I'm a mom of three. I run a business full time. I don't have like people like, yeah, I might be privileged, but like I started my own business 30 years ago. Like I've worked for this and I don't have spare time. How do I make family dinner every night? It's like, I chop potatoes sometimes and soak them in water at 6 a.m. And
yes.
And I turn my chopping of potatoes into a meditation and I shifted my, I have to do this to, I get to do this. So I play my own, like I'm in marketing. So I have to like market the shit to myself, just like anyone else. It's not like, you're so positive. I'm like, I'm not really. I have like, I stack things into my day. It's the same thing of how I teach movement. You know, where do I get with my degree in French teaching movement? It's like, you don't need workout clothes. You don't need a gym membership. You don't need a fancy yoga mat. You don't need dedicated space and you don't need an hour at one time to do it. Is that a priority? I think that's important. But if you're not moving at all right now, you don't need to go to that best place of all of those things. Start by moving. I teach something called exercise snacks. Start by doing squats while you're waiting for your coffee to be made in the morning. Start by balancing on one foot when you're brushing your teeth. Like all of those things matter too. It's not instead of, there's so many like ands. Everything doesn't need to be a but or an or.
That's a great segue into, okay, we talked about, you know, we talked about food. We talked about what we're, you know, lifestyle, like what are we eating with? What are we buying? What are we putting on our skin? You know, like it's more, and again, this podcast is not meant to overwhelm you. It's a discussion to help you think about things that you may not have thought about before. And, you know, let's move into, because this is probably my favorite section is, I guess you mentioned energy, like food has an energy, everything has an energy. So there's mindset, there's a spirit, there's soul, there's that whole part that a lot of times we have been shown to numb, right? Through, listen, I own my shit. I usually give myself an hour of scrolling TikTok time every single night. Okay.
Joy factor.
Yes. Joy factor. And, but I also know that it screws up my sleep if I do this past 9 o'clock. Right. So it's like you kind of have to balance. But then I also do a lot of the whole grounding stuff. I know you're big on that. I know you love that. So how do we get ourselves in that healthier mindset to make these changes? Because if we're in a shitty mindset, we're going to go to that big box store, we're going to buy all the shit, we're going to eat all the shit, we're going to do all the shit. Right, Lisa? So let's talk about the mindset part.
So, you know, if you want to think of it as like, you just said you own your own shit, right? And I was like, just people, like, you get to a point where you're just tired of your own shit, right? Like, you're tired of your own shit. So where do I start? And, you know, it's like I said, it's like you just said about overwhelm. Like, life can really be overwhelming. But without sounding cliche, it's like, if you live in the present, it's all pretty simple. That doesn't mean it's not without trauma and tragedy and challenge and all of those things that can, like, real life, like, really bumpy road. But mindset really, really matters. And unfortunately, this is not stuff that we grew up, like, we grew up learning, like, reading, arithmetic, right? Like, how to color in the lines. Like, there's so many things that we learned that I look back on and I think, I really wish I learned that I had a nervous system.
Yes.
That would have been remarkable. Like, wow. And I would have loved to know that we all have trauma and we're here on a journey and we all trigger each other. And it's like that relationships really matter. That if we don't, self-respect. So how do you have, like, what comes first? Is it mindset or is it our choices? Maybe. If you save up to buy that one new pan that doesn't have Teflon Forever chemicals in it, and you buy that one strawberry or tomato or the spinach or whatever you buy from the market, and you make yourself one healthy meal, or you have one glass of clean water from a new water filter that you bought, or you have a great night's sleep because you invested in a new mattress, or you bought a pair of socks made, handmade by somebody, like whatever your good feel exchange is, that could actually be the thing to fuel your mindset. Like, you don't have to actually do those things to start. But once you find it's, you know, you and I can talk about grounding and I could say, like, being barefoot on the ground, that's my thing. Like, but that might not be somebody else's thing. So if I say grounding is going to help you with your mindset and it's going to make you calm and productive all day long, and they try it and they're like, no, I don't feel it.
Didn't resonate.
Now it's like grounding sucks and Lisa doesn't know what she's talking about. So instead, my work is that through the Wellness Intelligence Collective, I'm like, look, once a week, I share one self-care activity. And that could be grounding. That could be just barefoot on grass. Here's why. Here's how. Try it. If it works for you, add it to your toolbox. If it doesn't work for you, don't. And that's a mindset that we need to train ourselves to be. It's okay to actually not like something that works really well for somebody.
Yes. Yes.
That's a mindset. And when we get in that space, we will always have a much more, like, we need hope. You need hope. So that's a mindset. It's like, you can wake up in the morning and you can set intention and you can have affirmations, but that doesn't speak to a lot of people where they are in their journey. So then don't force stuff. Go with where the joy is. Go with what feels good. Say yes to something that feels good. Say yes to having an open mind, because with an open mind, you can be able to change your mind. And you need to be able to change. We need to be able to be flexible and nimble and try new things, because that's the mindset that gets us to a much healthier place. And I speak this not as an expert. I speak this as somebody on that journey to have this moment like, wow, like, I have a nervous system and I can do things to support it, so I can be responsive instead of reactive, so I can not be angry, so I can sleep better. And everything being connected, like, if you sleep better, you're gonna have a better mindset during the day just automatically. So
yeah,
where do you start? And the answer is, it doesn't matter.
Yeah,
wherever you can start with one teeny little thing.
You know what's funny, you just triggered a memory in something I was cleaning up a while ago. And when I first started this business, I was sitting down with my husband. I'm like, okay, wow. Like, what are we going to call my podcast? What am I going to call it? It was just brainstorming, right? And he's like, well, you're a nutritionist, but you're not just about food. And you're kind of about lifestyle and you're about this. And then that's how the whole health and lifestyle queen came up. Like, yes, Sandy K Nutrition. Yes, I'm a nutritionist. But you said it right there. There are so many different areas that you can pull from to make a better choice. Whether that's, I got to start for me, let's just say for me, I need to start with my sleep. My sleep sucks. So I'm going to start there. And then that's like where you said that I'm going to make a choice. I'm going to buy a mattress that's going to help me sleep better. And I'm going to make a better choice for that mattress. And so pick wherever it is that resonates with you to start. Right?
Absolutely. And I think that's maybe why I appreciate you so much is you don't isolate one thing. I think there's a lot of danger in that when we rely on a quote unquote expert, we give up our power and they focus on one thing. And it's not to say that their advice is poor. It might be great, but there's no one quick fix for anything. We're talking about Sandy and I are right. We're both talking about a starting point.
Yeah.
And it's a journey. That's not a cliche. It's like, it's a journey. There's no beginning. There's no end. It's just all a middle.
Yeah.
And we can only hope for sort of happy middles. That's like my favorite Shel Silverstein quote. But, you know, you said you can't separate it because if you're doing all the right thing in food, but you're not moving at all, or you're not connected to your breath, or you're in really unhealthy relationships, or you're not sleeping, doesn't really matter. You need more help than just food.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You can't detox if you don't have your pathways open. Doesn't matter what you're taking.
Right.
It could be actually counterproductive in your beautiful work, which is why I would say just add it. The more you add that feels good into your life, whether that's just standing outside barefoot for 5 minutes in one day with your eyes closed, maybe 1 minute, maybe 30 seconds. The more you do things that are really, really small and realize that feels really good, the more you add in. And when you add things in, you push the bad shit out without even noticing it. And that fuels your mindset. That fuels your soul, right? Everything. That fuels your sleep and your mood and your posture. Like everything.
As I'm slouching. Slouching, Lisa. No, I love that you see. Now I'm going to correct myself.
Awareness.
Right?
Posture. Like, oh, that's something I can work on. I have to tell this because you just said that. I worked with this woman once, and you know, sometimes I can be tough, right? It's like I said, accountability is love. Sometimes it's like, Sandy, why are you slouched? Right? That kind of thing. But instead, I'd be like, can you do this? And she'd say no, and her eyes would light up, and she'd be like, I'm so excited. Thank you for pointing out something that I suck at. I have such opportunity to be better at that now. And I thought, wow, like, thank you for that gift. I was like, that's a mindset choice. And so just being in conversation with you or being in conversation with her, you realize that when you teach, you learn as well. When you are a healer and you are supporting someone, there's reciprocal healing, and the best things come where there's reciprocity. So to make sure that you're always fueling something that feels good, because that's always going to come back to you.
Yeah. You know, I want to just go back to the one thing that you had mentioned, and I have to go back to this because such an important point is I see this in this whole world of biohacking. Right? You see people will like almost mechanically, okay, I've done my 10 minutes of circadian rhythm and I looked in the sun and and I've done, you know, 30 minutes of my infrared sauna. Now I have to do 15 minutes of my, and it's very mechanical. And then they're like, oh, then I took this many peptides. Oh, wait, I'm still not healthy. Right? And they're listening to what everyone else is telling them to do. And it's a really important point that you made, as opposed to listening what makes them feel good. And so they're giving away their power. Oh, this person has said to take this, and this person said to do this. And this is what a real biohacker means. So I have to do it. Oh, and spermidine, it's magic. So if you take spermidine, it's magic. All your problems are going to go away.
And it is, right? It's like in one aspect, it's like there's like thousands of ideas that are magical. But also if you're doing them in like what you, how you just described it, which gives me such a strong visual of like, it's prescriptive.
Yes.
I'm doing it. I know, I might even know why I'm doing it. Some people do it and it's just because that person looks so healthy and they know what they're talking about. So I'm just going to follow them blindly. There's other people that also do it and know their why, which is great. Except for if you're doing it mechanically like that, prescriptively like that, there's a lack of connection. And if you're doing it and the whole time you're doing it, like I always say, I can't believe I'm so fortunate that I get to be in this sauna. Like when there's gratitude associated with it, you're like, look at this cup of tea I just made. It's so healthy. It's going to nourish me. It's going to make me feel good. It's going to make me focused for my day. Same with taking supplements, not just down the hatch. Like look at it and be like, wow, I'm so grateful Sandy's helping me on this journey and I have these things. And I'm taking it. That's positive self-talk. We don't need to go to somebody to we just need to actually be present with what we're doing and connected to it. And everything will actually be more powerful. Or we're going to be like, this really doesn't resonate. It's like, does not do it for me. Or I don't want to spend $1,000 doing this because I could spend $300 to do that. That feels really good. So, you know, it doesn't need to be prescriptive. It could be something that's really small. It doesn't need to cost money. Like taking your shoes off and standing in nature is free and available to us.
I just had a thought. So you know how that whole thing with retail therapy, you know, everyone says, oh, you know, retail therapy. And I'm going to say, listen, I've done it, but I end up feeling good for a minute. And then I'm like, meh, it's gone. Right. Whereas when we all have moments in our lives where we really need to take a step back and address how we're feeling. And I love to feel my feelings. And one of the things that I said myself this year is I'm going to be more myself. So even in my posts, in anything I do, and sometimes I've actually had people go, are you okay? I'm like, yeah, I'm fine. Like, it's just that day I was feeling a little down. And I felt very passionate about the fact that, you know, maybe, you know, somebody came to me and said their doctor didn't even listen to them and said, here's a prescription for an antidepressant. And then I felt sad about it. I tend to feel people's emotions. And so maybe I posted about it. So I can't even remember what my original point was now, Lisa. But my point, you know, is connection. That was my point. You started with the empathy economics, and really, it's all about connection. And it's connection to things we touch, things we eat, things we do,
each other,
and our feelings. I am not one to ever hide or suppress, you know, and I have ways that work for me. You know, for me, it might not be going on the grass and feeling the grass necessarily, but going for a walk with my dog in the forest, that connects me. And sometimes I have to do that for a couple days before I'm like, okay, I'm through this, what I needed to move through, as opposed to hiding it.
Right. And after 5 days where you're like, I'm in this groove and this feels really good. And then you can have an off day again.
Yes.
Like that's the thing is, I show up and it's like, I want to lift weights. And then sometimes I'm like, I'm not feeling like I don't want to lift weights today. It's just not feeling it. That doesn't mean I'm not going to move. That just means I'm going to do some core work, or I'm going to do some yoga, or I'm going to do something else. Like, just, you know, it's not all or nothing of something. It's not, I'm not going to go in the sauna. I've I'm done with that protocol. So you talk about biohackers, and the thing that I see the most is, I did that for a year, it made no difference, and so now they don't do anything. Danger of all of this, and that's where the overwhelm comes. And if diets worked, we know, so that's why I love that you do lifestyle, because if diets worked, like, we'd all be perfect, because think of how many diets there are. Most people jump from diet to diet, and they're always, I feel so good, and I feel so good. Well, there's honeymoon periods. It's instead, if you're connected to the food you're eating,
connection.
You know why you're eating it. It's connection. It's just about, like, oh, there's an awareness. There's a joy factor. It's like, I'm choosing to do this because, right? And it's not giving up on yourself. And that's the Wellness Intelligence Collective exists, because I didn't know, how do I, as I'm helping all these entrepreneurs, as I'm helping brands build their product or service or whatever I'm doing, I'm watching as this amazing human with the best of intention doing things, not taking care of themselves in all dimensions. So it's like, I'm leaving the physical component on the table, or I'm leaving the food and nutrition component on the table. And I'm not a nutritionist, and I'm not a personal trainer. I do have training in all of them, but what I've done is I serve teeny little tidbits so people are not overwhelmed. It's every single Monday I do one lesson in empathy economics. Not all pickles are created equal. Pickles, like, how do you buy a pickle? Like, what's a good pickle? What's a bad pickle? What's a problematic pickle? What are the questions? But I do that for castor oil or pillows, chocolate, honey. And at the end of the day, yes, there's resources, and yes, people love them. But really, it's what you said. It's like, ask the questions. You brought it up. Ask the questions and care about the answers. And when something's alarming, don't proceed. Like, it's like, don't override what you know. Mm. Even if it's your best friend telling you something, what you feel matters and what you know matters. Have the conversation, but, like, honor yourself. Like you said, be more yourself. And, you know, I say this, and it might sound to somebody listening that it's powerful and I'm intelligent, but I'm like the queen of overriding everything in my life, which is why I'm so all in to doing this, because now it's just automatic for me. And so I really believe that I can help other people find their non-override button to take care of themselves and show up as themselves.
I love that. I love all of what you're saying. I mean, I guess we'll have to wrap this up, but I have to end. You know, I was saying earlier about how my pantry doesn't have, like, they're all brands that people are like, what the hell is that? Right? They don't know what it is. And I'll share this. My daughter's like, Mom, like, it's so weird. Like, we're such weirdos. Like, you know, we don't have normal stuff in our pantry. And I'm like, I'm proud of that. I'm proud of that.
I'm going to write her a note.
Please do. Because I'm like, okay, listen, age, you know, 17, maybe not so discerning taste, right? But I'm like, I'm proud of that, because I have looked at every single label, and whether it's in the good or the better or the best category, it kind of doesn't matter in that sense, except that I chose that and I have discerning taste to question what's in my food. Right?
That's it. And it's about us empowering each other to ask the questions and care about the answers.
Yeah.
And if you spend time, I mean, the thing that I love about what I get to do every day is I look at people in the face and I'm like, I am so excited about what you're doing. Like, thank you for doing it. And then I get to participate in that. So why do I need to buy apple cider vinegar that's been pasteurized when it's like, there's a local provider right here. It's like, maybe not a known label, but it's like the best quality product. And guess what? It's cheaper. So you want to hang out with people like you who have done that research, and people like me who have done that research, But it doesn't mean that you and I are right all the time. We're just right for ourselves with where we are today and willing to share it and here to share it. So hopefully, you know, that's what someone can take away is any, just start in any one place with one better thing, whatever that is, and movement or breath or a purchase. It doesn't matter what it's in.
Yeah. All right, Lisa, is there anything else that you'd like to add? And definitely tell us where we can find you.
I said everything connects to my main website. So if you want to find me on Twitter or LinkedIn or Instagram or join the Wellness Intelligence Collective, you can find me at Borden Communications, which is the website is bordencom.com, which is BORDENCOM, as in the first three letters of communications.com. And if you Google me, hopefully I come up too.
Yes, you do. I actually did Google you. I had to make sure I had the right bio.
I don't pay for algorithms. I've just been around long enough I've written enough that I think it actually recognizes.
Yes, you did. You came up. So there you go. Thank you, Lisa. Thank you so much for this conversation. I really appreciate you.
I really appreciate you too. Better together, as I say, better together.
Yes, thank you. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Be sure to share it with someone you know might benefit. And always remember, when you rate, review, subscribe, you help to support my content and help me to keep going and bringing these conversations to you each and every week. Join me next week for a new topic, new guest, new exciting conversations to help you live your best life.